We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
It may take them a little while longer. Do they know that Aiyuk maybe is not ready to go? What does this signal to you, the Mohamed Sanu signing?
I think it signals more than I actually think it has less to do with Debo and Aiyuk than it does the rest of the wide receivers. And I just think that Shanahan and Lynch are looking at the wide receivers saying we just got to upgrade everywhere. And the like I said yesterday, I mean, there's a chance that Sanu will be as important as Bourne in this offense almost. And I think they just need more competent wide receivers. And this guy is obviously proven. He's a veteran. Shanahan knows him. And he might be able to give him just some professionalism and competence from the wide receiver position, you know, in a way Sanders did last year. I think that's what they're hoping for.
Yeah, and you talk about an in-season trade. When Sanders came over, it elevated the offense to another level. And I like the fact that they brought in Sanu, fellas, just for the simple fact they're not asleep at the wheel. They know what it is. They know what time it is. There's no certainty that Debo's going to come back on schedule. But if he does, okay, it's his second year, and he's dealing with an injury. So he's getting out the gate, you know, with stuff in his way. Then you're depending on Aiyuk, a rookie, never even played a down in the league. So I like Sanu. You talked about it, Stani, the fact that he's familiar with Shanahan. I mean, nothing to lose. You didn't have to give up the farm, but it's just the state of the 2029ers that, you know, after week one, you got two new guys on your squad, Bonte, and you know what? You need them. You need them, and that's not a good thing. So hopefully they can get past this injury bug and just focus on getting the game with the Jets, because you can't ill afford to slip up anymore or even get any more injuries, and hopefully Kittle's not a part of that.
Yeah, Richard Sherman out for the next 3 weeks. He's on short-term IR. George Kittle, iffy for week two with the knee sprain. Debo Samuel on short-term IR. He'll be out for the New York trip. Hopefully he's back by the Philadelphia Eagles game in week number four. Brandon Aiyuk with a hamstring injury. He suffered in training camp. Missed week one. We have no idea if he's going to play against the New York Jets. Jalen Hurd, he's out for the season. All had high hopes about Jalen Hurd. Guy can't stay healthy for some reason. It's not on him. His body's breaking down, but he's out for the year. Wesley Richburger, Ronald Blair, Julian Taylor, physically unable to perform. They're on that list. That's not good. So a lot of injuries here with the 49ers. But how calm are you, Niner fans? Are you worried? Are you overreacted? Does this Richard Sherman injury concern you heading into week number two against the New York Jets? Now talking about Mohamed Sanu in this offense, talking about the running game, how much of a threat is Sanu in this offense? How much of a threat is he? Well, he's not a bad receiver. He can run block. He can gain separation. A lot of people like him. So we'll see if he can make that difference. But I think this game is one where, and it, real quick before we move on to defense, just Sanu, which Kyle Shanahan, 59 catches, 653 yards and 4 touchdowns in that 1 year against Atlanta, 2017. He had 67 catches for over 700 yards. 2018, 66 catches for 838 yards last year. Split time with the Patriots, 59 catches, 520 yards. Couldn't pick up the offense up there in New England. But I'm just looking defensively at what Peter King had to say about the Niners defense, basically reestablishing themselves as the most dominant defense in the NFL and starting this week. And that's where the game has to be won in the trenches. This week, it has to be a big week from the defensive line. I'm with Peter King there, fellas, where it shouldn't matter that Sherman's out. If the defense is applying pressure on Darnold, they should shut down the Jets.
They should win the game. They should win the game. They got to figure out a way to win the game no matter how they go about doing it. And I'm with you. This is a quarterback that is young. This is a quarterback that's not particularly mobile. He's getting better, like most young quarterbacks. But I do expect the 49ers to give him some problems. And it's going to start up front by putting some pressure on him. And you know, this is also where Jimmy Garoppolo, I don't know that he's ever going to be a quarterback who can win you a game. But this is one where he can't lose it for you. They need Garoppolo. This is where they need the no interception game, because that's what can get the Niners into trouble in a game against the Jets, is if they start shooting themselves in the foot.
So Jimmy threw it 33 times last week. Do you guys want to go under or over on the pass attempts this week? Because I feel like it would give him confidence, and we'll all be able to tell once it's all said and done, you know, how many pass attempts or how they plan on attacking. But do you think it's too soon, Bontan Steiny, to kind of reel that in because of the two wideouts aren't there and kind of just run the ball galore? Or are we going to see Kyle say, you know what, we got number 10. I know you don't got much to work with on the outside, but I'm still calling plays like those two guys are out there because I trust you. And that's what I'm eager to see, if Jimmy can kind of, you know, if we see him drop back 35 times. I don't know. I want to say no, but I'm like, Jimmy Mike, put it on my shoulders, coach. I'm ready.
No, you don't need that. That's getting away from your identity. That is. And here's the thing that I'm going to be looking for, first and second down. Are the Niners going to run a lot of play action? Are they going to run the ball? How effective are they going to run the ball on first and second down? I felt like, and without even looking at the numbers, I felt like on first down, the Niners didn't establish themselves in the running game. They were getting stuffed on first down. 2 yards here. 6 yards here a couple times, but then 2 yards, 3 yards, 2 yards, no gain. I thought first down rushing, and maybe I could be wrong. I could be wrong there, but I felt like on first down, they didn't really run the ball effectively on first down to set up those second and shorts and those third and shorts that they were really so good at last season.
Well, the other thing, Bonte, is they lost the time of possession battle. And that's something that they were good at last year. Most running teams who run the ball well are. The Cardinals ran 78 offensive plays to 61. Yep. That's why when you're throwing 33 times and you're only running 25, it's more magnified because you have fewer plays. So the plays you do run are almost more important. They got to string together more first downs. They've got to put together more drives that eat up some clock. And basically, the Cardinals were the team that did that in week one, what the 49ers normally do to teams, which is control the ball and play a little bit of keep away.
Yeah, and it's funny, you know, here in the Bay Area, in Ninerville, everybody's thinking the schedule gods that you got the Jets and not a division opponent. And then I'm thinking, if I'm a Jet player, like, damn, what an opportunity to get the Niners when they're limping, when they're wounded, when they're hurt. And I know it's a two-way street, but at the end of the day, if I'm the Jets, they would shock the world if somehow they could upset the Niners here. And I don't like that aspect of it, but again, you two just mentioned it. If Kyle Shanahan implements a good, great game plan and they go out and execute, there's no way in hell they should lose to the New York Jets.
Here's producer Kyle stepping up here, talking about first down rushing.
Kyle's brilliant. Ball.
Kyle's been brilliant this week. He's been brilliant. 14 carries for 74 yards on first down. That's pretty damn good. Man. 14 carries for 74 yards on first down.
Run it again. Yeah.
Garoppolo.
Run it on second down.
Passing. Garoppolo was 9 for 12 for 165 yards, of course, the touchdown to Mostert on first down. Second, third, and fourth down. Second, third, and fourth down. 0 for 2 on fourth down. Of course, the goal line stand where I didn't agree with the play call. Third down, they're 2 for 11. Second down, the Niners rushed the ball 9 times on second down for only 33 yards. 33 yards on second down, 9 rushes. What does that tell you? Just Arizona was buttoned up on second and third down. You had that much success running the football on first down? How do you lose the football game? How do you lose that game? That's pretty damn good, fellas.
That's a good question. That's a good question. I'm not sure I know the answer to it. Is that Shanahan either getting too cute?
Possibly.
On second down?
Possibly.
So they ran it 14 times on first down and threw it 12 times on first down.
Exactly. Yep.
Okay. See, I like that. I don't know. I get, again, 25 rushes as a team compared to 33 pass plays is the part I'd like to switch for next week, basically.
Right. Yeah.
Real quick, just want to throw this at you guys. Garoppolo, 10 for 20 on second and third down combined for 100 yards and 1 touchdown. Second and third down, he was only 50%. His completion percentage was 50% for 100 yards. First down, he threw the ball really, really well, Goo.
Yeah, and I don't know. Those are the money downs, and I don't want to blame Jimmy, but I don't know if it's pressure he's putting on himself. Is it something the defense is taking away or the fact that Debo and Ayuk weren't out there? I don't know, but I do know this. George Kittle did get a target the whole second half. And guess what, fellas? Hurt or not hurt, he was out there and he was running pass routes. So I don't know what's going on and who to blame, but moving forward, I think we're going to be able to decipher what's going on. And hearing Michael Irvin talk about trust what you see, Jimmy, if it's there, let it go. And you know, maybe we need to see more of that, but the money downs are third downs. It keeps the chains moving, and that's what Arizona did to the Niners. The Niners didn't get any takeaways, and last year that was a staple of their defense. So moving forward, Bonte, if you're gashing them like you just mentioned on first down, I'm gonna keep running. But I guess Kyle has to show some trust in the passing attack and mainly Jimmy Garoppolo, so it's never going to be, you know, 70 to 30. But that is quite alarming that you were gashing him early on, but yet you can sustain drives.
I mean, I may be wrong, but what that tells me is they're getting nice yardage on first down, and Shanahan is then calling more of a gamble play on second. Because let's say they get, you know, he probably figures second and three, second and four is where I can get creative because I can always come back on third down and get that 4 or 5 that I need. And then maybe they treat it a little bit like a free play and they're not pulling it off. That's just something that maybe, I don't know.
Right. And the Niners, if I'm not mistaken, Kyle, Matt's and producer Kyle, I want you to jump in for a second before we get back out to the Lions. Kyle's sending me all these little nuggets here, but 12 play action passes when you're a run first team on 37 dropbacks. 37 dropbacks and only 12 play actions.
And Jimmy's
I'm not
great
if
action.
I'm not, yeah. And Steiny and Gua, Kyle come in here. Were the Niners one of the best play action teams in all of football last season?
Yeah, they were up there. The Titans were really good at it. It's something Kirk Cousins in Minnesota is really good at, but Jimmy Garoppolo is typically thrived in those scenarios. I don't know why they didn't do more of it.
Wow. Yeah, that's weird. So the more and more we break this down, fellas, the more and more I'm looking at Shanahan, and it kind of goes to Stidey point, like where he wants to put his mark on a football game, where he wants to show his, you know, hey, look at me. I'm Kyle Shanahan. I got this big play sheet. I could dial up anything. I'm looking at Shanahan more and more and more. More and more and more, I'm looking at Kyle Shanahan and the way he calls a game, or the way, you know, like 12 play actions. You're a run first team. Don't you want to suck Arizona in? Like, that doesn't make any sense to me. You only run 12 play action passes on 37 dropbacks, and I could be nitpicking here, but it was such a big part of their game last season. What's going on in week one? Maybe they get back to that here against the New York Jets and at the Meadowlands.
Well, and the other thing, and I think Kyle brought this up yesterday in the chat. You know, one of the hallmarks of a Kyle Shanahan team is this pre-snap motion when you got guys moving around. Well, I don't know if he did as much of that, but then also, you know, if you can do all the pre-snap motion you want, but if the guy who's doing it isn't a huge weapon or isn't right. somebody you fear, it probably doesn't work as well. I mean, like, you can do all the pre-snap motion you want, but if I know George Kittle's compromised, it's probably less effective than it normally would be if you've got healthy players who can play make.
And we talked about it in the offseason, Bonte, and even the Super Bowl, that last drive. Like, if Shanahan had any area of improvement, it would be situational play calling. And I'm thinking, you know, and we talked about it a couple of days ago, Garoppolo can roll out. He can use his legs, Steiny. He can throw on the run, but you don't see that a lot. But to Bonte's point, if he's better at play action pass, and I see Jared Goff, I see Kirk Cousins, I mean, those guys are almost dependent on it. Why wouldn't a coach is supposed to put your players in the best position to succeed? Steiny, I'm just blown away, and I'm thinking about the game plan and the pass routes. It wasn't like they were just chucking the ball downfield, so it wasn't like he was getting greedy. Kyle was. It's like, why are you not calling plays that are conducive for a guy that is obviously better and more accurate when you play action pass and you're a run first team, so you would suck the defense in thinking you're going to give it to Mostert in the game and let Jimmy set his feet, feel more comfortable and throw it, but yet that's not happening. So I do think it's fair, Bonte, that we kind of just like, that is peculiar. Kyle, what's up with that?
Yeah, no doubt about it. Let's go out to Ricky and Danville. Ricky and Danville, what's happening, my man? You're on 95.7 The Game.
Thanks, you guys. Great show. Congratulations, Bonte.
Thank you, brother.
I think a lot of it has to do with rust. I think Garoppolo just had a rusty day. He looked robotic at times. There was guys open on that field. I haven't looked at the All-22 yet, but there was guys getting open. I remember one red zone play where he waited for the running back to go up, and then right when he looked away, the guy was wide open right when he looked away.
I know what you're talking about.
Touchdown, but I don't know. I couldn't see the safeties. But this is what comes down to Adam Peters, man. What is Adam Peters going to bring to the table? Because that's the very first hire that John Lynch did, was got Adam Peters from the Broncos and brought him over here. And he knows all these other teams, because right now we can't spend any money to bring anyone else in new. You know, it's not like, well, you're there, make a decision. Are we going to go after Robinson, or are we going to help our defense? You know, and one more point. Saleh needs to step it up. He had all season to deal with these running quarterbacks. And we got two of them in our, almost three in our division alone. And he needs to come up with a plan to get it done.
Good call. By the way, some breaking news here. Raheem Mostert. This is from Matt Mayoko of NBC Sports Bay Area. He will be present in Cleveland for the delivery of his second son. He's going to meet his wife in Cleveland. Wife Devin. Her name is Devin. He'll be allowed to leave the team and join his wife, Devin, at a hospital near their family's home. He plans to be back on the field a few days later and not miss any game action. So that's what's going on with Raheem Mostert.
Congrats.
You know, with all the COVID. Yeah, congrats to Raheem Mostert. Delivered their second child. So he'll leave the team, but he plans to not miss any game action, Raheem Mostert.
So that tells me that it's a planned birth. Because trust me, you don't know exactly unless right. you're doing it that way with a C-section, most likely. So I, like, when I first read that, I thought, oh man, well, they don't know when he's going to, I mean, he might miss today through right, Friday. Right, he might miss Friday through Wednesday, but it sounds like, they use the calendar.
Yeah.
you almost scared me there, Steiny, in the G-chat. I said, is Mostert not playing against the Jets? Oh, what's going on here? Again, Kyle Shanahan will meet the media in about an hour down in Santa Clara to talk about some of the injuries. Richard Sherman, of course, out for the next 3 weeks with the calf strain. George Kittle with the knee sprain. And the Niners were cautiously optimistic. Yeah. If George Kittle's ready to go and the doctors say, hey, he can't injure his knee anymore, do you play George Kittle or do you play it safe?
I play it safe, Steiny. This is my franchise. This is the guy. Just paid him. If we can't beat the Jets without him, even with the injuries, then what are we? But why would you risk him out there with a knee sprain that's already diagnosed? I'm staying out of harm's way, because if he gets hurt and he's unavailable for the rest of the 16 or 15 or 14.
Well, yes. I mean, I like this is one where I never think it's an injury he's going to get looked at today. I don't know. I mean, maybe he'll miss a game. Maybe he won't. I mean, of course they're going to be safe with it. So I don't. You know, they'll just wait, and it's a matter of how safe they want to be with it. But he's going to want to play. I'm telling you right now, and I guarantee you. But the other thing is, he came out of that game saying, "I'm fantastic." So if he doesn't play, we know for sure that he wasn't fantastic.
And Bonte, I don't want to throw stones, but I'll ask you too: are you surprised that he was allowed back on the field if he had an MCL sprain? Wouldn't you just err on the side of caution rather than have him go out there and get banged up again somehow?
Yeah,
I mean, I'm shocked that this is when he came back. I was like, okay, no. I mean, this could have been serious and went a whole different way.
Not a doctor.
Came back and didn't get a single target. He didn't get a single target in the second half. And he was in, you know, five or six pass plays where he stayed in the block. But in the second half, it looked like he was a decoy. It looked like he wasn't gaining separation. It looked like he just wasn't right to everybody out there, except, I guess, the 49ers. So I don't know. Like, if you don't play him in the second half, do you give up a competitive advantage? Does the sideline just kind of slump their shoulders and say, oh, man, our number one offensive weapon is out. We already don't have Deebo. We don't have Ayuk. Like, I don't know. I don't know. It's a great question, Goop, but I don't know, because he definitely looked hurt. And I think all of us agree that when he told the media after the game, "I'm fine, I'm fine, I'm fine," I don't think any of us believe that he's just fine. I think there's something there.
And we'll find out. I guess hopefully we'll find out within the hour on Kittle.
No doubt. The new signs with the 49ers yesterday. Here's what Shanahan had to say about Mohamed Sanu before the Niners signed him. He basically was banging the table saying, "Get me my guy. Get me my guy who I coached in Atlanta." Here's Shanahan on Monday talking about Mohamed Sanu before he signed with the 49ers.
We'll see how these injuries go, but, you know, I love Sanu. I mean, he's a hell of a player, so him being out there is always a possibility. We'll look into everything that we have, though. We got to know our numbers that are going to be up this week, which we don't have that settled yet, but I wouldn't rule that out at all. I mean, he's available, and he's definitely a guy I really respect, and I think everyone in this league respects, so we'll see how it goes this week.
That's Shanahan on Monday, and, of course, yesterday the Niners signed Mohamed Sanu to a deal. The receiver played for Kyle Shanahan in Atlanta. What took so long? Because this move, when he got cut by the Patriots, every Niner fan, every Niner beat writer was talking about, "Hey, Sanu to the Niners." Don't be shocked. Don't be shocked. What took so long? Did the Niners want to go out there in week one and see what they had with this current core receivers with Trent Taylor, Dante Pettis, and Kendrick Bourne? Or did they believe that Deebo was going to be back in week number one, or Brandon Ayuk was going to be back in week number one? I just wonder what took so long to bring in Mohamed Sanu.
I think you hit it.
Go ahead, Stoner.
I do think you hit it. I think on some level, I think, you know, they knew they probably weren't going to be without Deebo. Ayuk, I don't know if they were surprised, but okay, right. Now you get hit with Ayuk's going to have to miss the opener. I do think there's something about, all right, Pettis has been disappointing. You know, he seemed to be on the same page, at least with Shanahan, in terms of what they were talking about. Let's give him another crack at it. Trent Taylor's coming back from injury. He's healthy. Let's give our guys the first crack at it. And I think what they saw in week one was, we can't wait any longer. We can't take the chance of Pettis having another game where he's just no factor. We've got to get a receiver in there who's a proven professional. That's why Sanders was so big for the 49ers last year, at least through the first, you know, 6-8 games.
Yeah, and you know what? I'll give Kyle Shanahan the credit for being kind of loyal, like a proud papa. you know, saying that he had the conversation with Pettis and this was going to be a big year, and he got the opportunity. And I just wonder if Jerry Rice's comments about the dancing, and if that was Pettis, I believe it was, if that's gone into, you know, Shanahan just after one game losing confidence in Pettis. But I think the Debo setback was a bit of a shocker. And then also, too, I'm thinking of young Brandon Ayuk, like, damn, it's your rookie season. They shocked a few people by taking you when they could have took some other, you know, more known receivers. Bonte Hill, I guess this is perfect timing, and I'm going to say this. I think Sanu already, once he laces up his cleats, is the best receiver on the Niners team, and he's accomplished more than anybody else, and that's not a diss to anybody else. But what did we talk about all offseason? Oh, the guys haven't been throwing the ball, or, you know, no offseason training. They haven't been – there's no timing. I'm like, damn, so how are him and Sanu, Jimmy, and Sanu supposed to – you know, when do you start working on that rapport, I guess I ask. Is that in game?
Maybe Saturday in a hotel ballroom. I don't know.
Oh, my goodness.
David San Jose. David San Jose, Yard 95.7 a game. What's happening?
Well, I just wanted to talk about the Niners a little bit. One thing is, Pettis needs to be cut or traded and gone. He, in my eyes, what I saw last week is he could have forced a touchdown if he would have blocked for McKinnon. If he would have just touched one of the DBs. Number two, he doesn't even try for catching a touchdown. So he's scared of getting hit. We know that. Trent Taylor looks like he runs about a sub-4.7, and he's too small to run that speed. I think he's lost after that injury. And then when you talk about Jimmy and the wide receivers he has, we want him to be more decisive. How can he be more decisive if he can't trust his receivers? He showed decisiveness when Kittle was not injured, and he threw Kittle the ball. But I expect Sanu, just like you said, Guru, to walk in here, be the number one receiver, and I expect him, Jimmy, to just know who he is and be able to be a little bit more decisive with him than his other two receivers that he's got options. That's all I got, guys. Thanks.
Good call. Good call. By the way, Mohamed Sanu, he can't practice – until Friday. Can't practice until Friday. He needs three negative COVID tests. So he can't practice until Friday. But does that matter for a veteran like Sanu, who kind of knows Shanahan's style from Atlanta, his system, I guess, and he's a veteran? He should be able to adjust, right? I mean, it's probably in the meeting rooms or getting a playbook or whatnot, but can't practice till Friday.
Well, I think one of the reasons – Sanu was on their radar, as Sanders was in the past, is because they probably have the quickest adjustment ability of the receivers out there in terms of players who played and had experience, especially in the system. So I think it's very possible that just by Sanu being a truly professional wide receiver, he may have a better rapport than Garoppolo. Just because Garoppolo may look at him a little differently as like a legit receiver who he can trust. It's almost like the chicken and the egg. How do you get confidence in a receiver? Well, he's got to prove it. Well, you know, Sanu comes in with a resume, so maybe he has to prove it less than some of the younger guys.
And what do you expect from Sanu? I know not Jerry Rice numbers, but – I mean, is he going to be Jimmy's, you know, favorite target? Just, I don't want to say coming off the street, but essentially that's what he's doing, and I'm sure he's kept himself in shape. But, I mean, man, just to, you know, practice Friday and play Sunday, I'm eager to see if they can make beautiful music together.
Mohamed Sanu signs with the 49ers yesterday. Debo Samuel out for the next two games. At the earliest he can return is against the Philadelphia Eagles in week number 4. Richard Sherman, if Case – You have just waken up today on this Wednesday. Richard Sherman out for the next 3 weeks with a calf strain. Richard Sherman out for the next 3 weeks with the calf strain. We'll hear from Kyle Shanahan at 12:20. He'll give us a report, hopefully, on George Kittle, who also has a knee sprain. George Kittle with the knee sprain. We'll get an update on him at 12:20 from Kyle Shanahan, and we'll update you guys here on 95.7 The Game about that as they get ready to take on the New York Jets, which feels like, I know I said it was basically a must win. I just don't want them, you know, you start off the season at 0-2, fellas. You know, I'm looking at Arizona. Okay, they play Washington. Washington looks improved, but Arizona's playing at home. Seattle, they take on New England at home. The Rams take on the Eagles. Sure, these are not division games, but you can't really fall behind in a division because you know these guys, you know this, fellas. These division games are going to be dogfights. They're going to be dogfights. Are the Niners going to go 5-1 in the NFC West again like they did a season ago? It's going to be hard. It's going to be hard. So I think you do need to win games like this to just keep pace with the rest of the division.
Yeah, and I also think with a team like the 49ers who are tested and are coming off a Super Bowl, they have an understanding of how hurt they are. They have an understanding of what it means to play with Kittle banged up, now with Sherman out, without Deebo Samuel. So I think they know, like, I don't, they're not going to go into New York saying, this is a neat, like, I did not think they suffered from overconfidence against the Arizona Cardinals. No. And I don't believe they think they can walk in to New York and just win two games by showing up. In fact, it may work to their benefit knowing that they've got to be on point because they're banged up. And I believe it or not, I could see them just going in and handling the Jets, to tell you the truth.
And what's making me tingle, I know it's midweek, is just what we kind of talked about. I know he's not on the field, but Kyle Shanahan and his game planning. Just exactly how is he going to, you know, compensate for who's not available, Sanu coming in. Do, you know, we talked about the 33 pass attempts and the distribution on the run. I mean, will that change? And will he shock us? Could we see Jimmy throw it 40 times? We have no idea what the game plan's going to be, but Steiny, he's that guy. Well, I talked about it. He's the best play caller and designer. He could get us open, you know? So I'm eager to see if he can use this cast of characters to do that.
But why would you assume that, like, we do know what Shanahan, Jimmy's not going to throw it 40 times. Why would Jimmy Garoppolo throw it?
You have no idea what the game plan is, though.
How many times has he thrown 40 times?
I have no idea.
Probably not a lot. And why would you throw 40 times when you're missing your number one receiver, your number two?
Well, you threw 33 times with the same with what your whole scenario. So I'm 7 pass attempts off. They threw 33 times week one. So is that a stretch to think
he's not
going to
throw
7 more passes?
All right. I mean, if he does, it'll be a complete anomaly. No, it's not. It's not how I feel. It's using the track record of how many times Jimmy's thrown 40 passes in a game, and I guarantee you it's very, very small.
Jimmy did it twice.
Kyle,
last
help
year.
Us. Okay.
Jimmy did it twice last year. Once against Seattle on Monday Night Football, 24-46.
Had to be the
Saints.
And
then the next week against Arizona. Against Arizona, 30. Even against the Saints, Jimmy threw the ball 35 times. You know, 37 times the first time around against Arizona. But usually he's in that 29. 27,
low 30s guy.
25. Yeah. Low 30s to maybe high 20s. But you get Jimmy Garoppolo throw the ball around 40 times with this receiving core, well, you're probably getting blown out. You're probably down 28-0 after.
And you ain't running the ball or having success.
That's not the game plan. That's not the way the Niners do things. Not under Kyle Shanahan. Jocko of Pacifica. Jocko, you're on 95.7 The Game. Good afternoon, Jocko.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. I want to talk about the off season and extending Lynch and Shanahan, but Guru, that was the whole talk of the whole off season was that Shanahan was going to have the whole off season to game plan for week one, and it didn't turn out so great. But I never understood what was the rush about extending Lynch and Shanahan after, you know, I'll admit it was a great season last year and they exceeded expectations, but it almost seemed like the front office wanted to be able to pound their chest and say they figured things out after the disasters of Chip Kelly and you know, the defensive line coach, I can't remember his name, who they made head coach. But, you know, there's been a lot of draft picks that haven't worked out, some free agents that they picked up that haven't worked out. And, you know, Shanahan, he's a genius play caller for three quarters, but that fourth quarter seems to be a sticking point for him. What's your guys' thoughts on them extending both those guys when it didn't really seem like it was time to do so?
Why are you laughing, Stoney? Because, that was, come on, that was that.
Because what? Because the caller has a point. That's why I'm laughing.
He has a great point. He has a great point.
And I, listen, when they did it, I didn't say this is a catastrophic move.
You almost won the Super Bowl. Right.
Okay. And would they have 3 more years left in their deal?
Yes. Yep.
Three more years left on their deal. I was surprised it was that year. I would have waited one more, but you know, I do think in general, Kyle Shanahan has gotten more praise than maybe he's deserved. Wow.
Man, that's all I'm trying to say, Steiny. People don't want to say
going
that.
Going overall record, Steiny. Steiny's well, going
it's not
over
just, it's
overall.
It's not just overall record. It's not just overall record. It's just so many people are quick to point the finger at the quarterback. Well, what about the guy who's supposedly a quarterback whisperer, a guy who's an offensive genius? Jocko has a point because it goes back to wanting Kirk Cousins. It goes back to trading up in the draft for C.J. Beathard when you had the number 3 overall pick and you could have got yourself Watson or Patrick Mahomes. It goes to signing Brian Hoyer. I mean, come on. It goes to drafting, trading up and drafting Dante Pettis. I mean, really, what's going on here? Jocko has a great point. I personally would have waited. He got 6-year deals. They just finished year number 3. Why the rush? Why? Because Jed wants to say, I want a stable franchise. I want to know that I have my GM and head coach in place for a long, long time. But they weren't going anywhere. They weren't going anywhere. So there's a point to be made. And a lot of people praise Shanahan. And he prays on them all the time. But think about all the losses last year, fellas. What did we say after the game? Boy, Shanahan should have made it in that situation. The Monday night game. Steiny was saying, hey, you maybe should have ran the ball and played for the tie instead of passing the ball 3 times. We talked about the Baltimore game before halftime. And we talked about the end of the game, playing a shotgun on 4th-and-1. Every single loss the Niners had last season, we looked at Shanahan. So why the rush? I'm not saying Shanahan's a terrible coach. And I'm not saying it wasn't the right move. But there's something to what Jocko said. There's something to what he said, Goo.
Well, no, you know what? And his biggest thing that stood out to me was the fourth quarter play calling. It's like when, you know, Shanny gets a little too cute, but I'll say this. Those contracts, fellas, are the least of the 49ers' worries in 2020. How about that? You got to go win a game in New York. You actually got to win 2 games in New York. You're waiting the medical outcome of arguably your best offensive player. So I hear you. There's some merit for that and peculiar timing. But when you almost and should have hoisted the Lombardi Trophy, I thought those contracts in the offseason were just drunkenness of, you know what, I got the sharpest, you know, I got a duo, and they ain't going nowhere. But right now – I just think that's, you know what I'm saying? That's,
I don't want to bring
that's
up the
least of the worries.
I mean, I don't want to bring up the past, but Harbaugh did more in his first 3 years than Shanahan did. And sure, Harbaugh was handed a more talented roster.
Yeah,
but
the guy
went to 3 straight NFC championships and lost the Super Bowl. He didn't get rewarded.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
But there was different stuff going on, Steiny. I hear
you. Yeah. Jed York feels more comfortable with Shanahan and Lynch. But Bonte's – look, I'm not crazy about Harbaugh either, but facts are facts.
I'm a fan.
Harbaugh couldn't sniff an extension after 3 years getting to the NFC Championship in the 1 year in the Super Bowl. It's just a fact. Was it because of Harbaugh's personality? Yeah, probably. But, you know, and I got to say I'm a little surprised at Goo because, you know, we talk about how the 49ers didn't get it done and Jimmy didn't make that throw and they didn't win a Super Bowl. Now, who knows how long that window is, but you're okay with giving them that extension after not winning a Super Bowl. I would think you'd be the kind of guy who's like, yeah, I wouldn't have given it to him. You win the Super Bowl, we'll talk about it.
Right. Here's what's coming up on 95.70 Game, brought to you by AAA Northern California, Nevada, and Utah. Let's continue this conversation. Was it too soon to give Shanahan to Lynch an extension? Plus Adam Kaplan at 12:05 right here on 95.70 Game as we talk about the 49ers and their injuries. Plus, you, the listener, more of your phone calls. Guys be killing it this week. 888-957-9570. It's all sponsored by AAA Northern California, Nevada, and Utah.
Now back to Bonte, Steiny, and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Adam Kaplan coming up at 12:05, and all guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the Bay Area Chevy Dealers Guest Line. Visit BayAreaChevroletDealers.com to find a dealer in your area. Adam Kaplan, our 95.7 Game Insider. That'd be a lot of fun to talk about the Niners and his perspective on what went on in week number one as the Niners lost to the Arizona Cardinals 24-20. And they got more bad news this morning with Richard Sherman. He was diagnosed with a calf strain. He's out for the next week. So how does this change the defense? If it does change the defense, does Robert Saleh need to step his game up? What does Shanahan and Garoppolo need to do offensively? How do they run the ball against the Jets, who only allowed 41 yards to running backs in Buffalo? 18 carries, 41 yards for the Buffalo Bills running backs, Zach Moss, and Devin Singletary. Interesting game coming up here. Interesting game coming up in New York City. And a lot of people are on Jimmy Garoppolo, but where does Shanahan stand? Where does Shanahan stand in the blame game with this 49ers team?
I mean, wow, he's the coach, and he's got to take the blame. I mean, like any coach would take the blame. Nobody's saying that Kyle Shanahan's not a good coach. I don't think. I'm not saying that, and no. I'm not saying that the 49ers made a mistake by signing him and Lynch.
Okay.
At all. I am saying, it was, the timing did surprise me a little bit. 3 years into a 6-year deal, but okay, they like what they have, and they're hoping that, like I said, I guarantee you, Jed York wants Shanahan to be the coach for the next 8 years. But nevertheless, he is the record. You know, Shanahan's the coach of a team that's right now 0-1. And, you know, let me throw this stat at you, because Guru brought up 40, you know, let maybe Garoppolo will throw it 40 times. So, and this is kind of interesting. In Shanahan's tenure as the 49ers coach, a quarterback's thrown 40 or more times 12 out of his 49 games. Before last year, when they threw 40 or more times, they were 1-7. Last year, they were 4-0 when they threw 40 or more times. Now, call me – and so what I see there is when they threw the ball a lot last year, they got some breaks to win those games. not all four, but – it's a way they won the games, but it's not their first preference how to win games. And I'm giving them credit here because they weren't a good enough football team the 2 years before that. But last year, they found a way to win those games when they had to throw it a lot. But it's not something that they want to do. It's like when you run out of options and that's the last one. But this year, they don't have the playmakers that they had last year. Yeah. And so if you throw 40 times, I'm more likely to believe that you're going to lose those games this year if you're throwing 40 times without Deebo Samuel in the lineup or with George Kittle banged up.
Yeah, I get your point. And, Bonte, let me just add this about my last thing about the contract extension. I'm more shocked that they got 6 years out the gate than I am the extension. The extension built a tank out of a 4-12 team out of nowhere. You got a stout defense. You should have won the Super Bowl. And if I'm Jed York and I know myself, I'm looking in the mirror like, man, we didn't shock the world. I got a young hotshot coach. You know what? I got a young hotshot GM. So I'm going to go ahead, you know what, and just tack this on. But I believe the Dr. J's, which they got the 6 years out the gate, shocked me more so than the extension, especially when you were just a few minutes away from winning the Super Bowl.
Yeah, the 6-year deals happened because the Niners, they were having issues with the organization. Okay. And they had to show a head coach, a young hotshot head coach, and a GM that apparently people knew that was going to be on the rise if he did decide to make the decision to join the front office in John Lynch. They had to show, hey, here's a 6-year deal. We're at rock bottom. It's going to take a couple years to fix this train. It's going to take a couple years to revamp this roster. Here's 6 years. 6 years. Here you go. So they had to do that. The extensions, did it come early? Maybe. Maybe, but you know what? I'm not mad at it because you identify who your head coach is and who your GM is. Now you let them cook. It just kind of surprised me that they did it so soon, but it's all right. It's all right. And I get the circumstances with Jim Harbaugh is a completely, completely different. Now, as far as the throwing the football over 40 times, you see the two games here against Seattle and Arizona in back-to-back weeks where they throw it 46 to 45 times. Run game was stymied. Run game was struggling. George Kittle wasn't out there in the Seattle game. You're kind of playing from behind in that one. You know what? You had to do what you had to do. You had to do what you had to do in that game. And that's fine. And they go 1-1 in those games. 1-1 in those two games where Garoppolo throws the ball over 40 times. It happens. Sometimes you got to do what you got to do in a game. But for the most part, the Niners' identity and the way they cook is by using play action, is by running the ball 30 times, which is why you have those staple of running backs, why you trade for Trent Williams to get that lineman in there who can run block and pass block and just small guys. It's just not their identity. And you know what? In the NFL, more teams who throw the ball 40 or more times, they're more likely to lose a football game. They're more likely to lose that football game when you're just throwing the ball around the yard every single week.
Yeah.
If you're not Kansas City, yeah. Anybody not named the Chiefs.
And here's the thing that maybe we can talk about a little more on the other side or after we get Adam Kaplan. And there is and I don't know if it's revisionist history or not. And I'm not a huge Harbaugh guy, but the guy came in and in year one went to the NFC Championship. In year two, we went to the Super Bowl. And in year three, he went to the NFC Championship. Like, Kyle Shanahan can't touch that with what he's done in his first three-plus years. I mean, it does seem like we talk, and maybe I do it too, we talk about Shanahan like he's kind of the golden boy. Well, right. Jim Harbaugh came in and did something more impressive than Shanahan's done.
Yeah, and I don't know where you're hearing that, but not from me because I think
well, you say Fonte, you know this. I think Kyle's highly the best of Harbaugh. Play caller in the NFL.
Like, well, that's because Harbaugh's not in the NFL. He's in college, so I don't even consider him.
You said no, but Shanahan has led the 49ers to a 6-10 year, a 4-12 year, and a 13-3 year, and he gets to be called the best play caller in the NFL. And Harbaugh took his first three teams to conference finals, and we never talked about him in like glowing terms like that, did we?
I did. I told you, I'm a fan. And when you look at that, Harbaugh had quarterbacks. I don't care what you think of Alex Smith compared to what Shanahan inherited here with Hoyer and who else did he have? Hoyer, Mullins. I'm just saying. I'm not making an excuse because I'm a Harbaugh guy, Bonte. But, I mean, Harbaugh had quarterback. Kaepernick, I mean, he created Cap. If we want to go there.
Whoa. First of all, when Harbaugh took over, in a shortened offseason because they were on a strike, and Alex Smith took the playbook to San Jose State. A lot of people out here didn't like Alex Smith. A lot of people wonder why Alex Smith was on the roster. Number
Captain
one.
Checkdown.
Number two, Shanahan picked those guys. He picked Beathard. He picked Brian Hoyer. So I don't want to hear, oh, he was handed. No. Shanahan picked those guys and told Kaepernick to hit the pike. Told him to go somewhere else. And Kaepernick hasn't gotten a job since, so we know why. But Shanahan picked those. Hell, matter of fact, he traded up in the same draft with Watson and Mahomes to take C.J. Beathard. That's on Shanahan. Harbaugh. There's a story out there when he was chilling with his dad, and he believed that Kaepernick could be a really good quarterback, and he wanted to take Kaepernick in the second round. And so, yes, he did select Kaepernick, and we saw what happened with Kaepernick. Harbaugh did a lot with that team that were perennial losers. Nobody thought that, oh, man, this roster is so stacked. You got to give Harbaugh credit there because Mike Nolan and Mike Singletary couldn't win with that roster, and Harbaugh did. So you got to give the coach some credit. That's all we're saying. We're not saying that Shanahan's a terrible coach. Not saying that he doesn't deserve anything. But you got to give Harbaugh his credit.
I do. do, Steiny.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess what I'm saying is, and I'm not, you know, we can get into this more after Kaplan.
Yeah.
And I'm not necessarily trying to pick a fight, but like, who that, like, the guy's 23 and 26. How did he get, how is he the best play caller in the NFL? Like, what are we doing here? He's 23 and 26. Like, do something first before we adorn this guy as the best play caller in the NFL.
But you got to admit, last year.
Next.
Okay, yeah. Last year, that's 1 year.
Next. Oh, we got Kaplan coming up next. We got to go. Adam Kaplan coming up next.
You'll get your chance.
Kyle Shanahan. Kyle Shanahan will speak at 12:20. We'll find out about George Kittle and his status for Sunday's game against the New York Jets. And that's coming up right here at 95.7 The Game, brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full service banking. No compromises.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.